Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf without the drive. Alongside Mike Gilligan, Tyler Rocky with you, talking some golf on this beautiful Saturday morning in Chicago as the temperatures will get back to a little more golf friendly, especially by the time we get to the LIV Golf Individual Championships, which are taking place this week at Bolingbrook Golf Club, which is where Mike is on site today. And right now, let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. And we find Nick Venson, the CEO of Swag Golf, joins us on the CDGA Golf Show. Good morning, Nick. Thanks for taking some time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So you started this Swag Golf apparel accessory company. I mean, you can't play around, it feels like, without seeing a really cool Swag Golf head cover on someone's driver or something like that. When you are just out playing around and you see one of these head covers on someone else's bag, what kind of feelings does that put in you?
I love it, obviously. I was super passionate about making cool products that I thought people would put into play and enjoy. And every time I go somewhere, you know, whether it's in Chicagoland or, you know, across the country, and I see our products in play, it just always gives me a smile.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. And obviously with the Chicago connection with you, I mean, you see some of these putters, head covers like that. There's always some Chicago flair, whether it's Cubs related, whether it's a Chicago style hot dog. How important was having Chicago influence on a lot of your products? And how important was that to you?
You know, growing up in Chicagoland, obviously our headquarters are here in Chicagoland. It was just something I felt like we, you know, wanted to own this area. I wanted to see people using our products in my backyard.
So, Nick, it's been, you know, wild to see the growth of your company. And I know in a general sense, Swag started with four friends in a small, you know, 2,500 square foot facility in Northbrook years ago. But as an entrepreneur, there had to be a moment that you said to yourself, damn, I've got something here. When and or what happened that all of a sudden triggered, I've got something really good here?
When we launched the company, we launched on April 1, 2018 at midnight, kind of by design. The idea, you know, don't be a fool, show up and buy something cool at Swag Golf. We didn't know if the brand was going to take off or not. We had a feeling that the designs were cool, and I was pretty confident in what we had going. But you know, we didn't really sell out the first night. It took like 24 hours to sell through, and I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little nervous on how that first night went. But I think around the sixth drop that we did, we knew we kind of had, you know, we'd caught fire. I think our sixth drop was about 125 pieces that sold out in like 2 seconds. Wow. And we just knew then that we were on to something.
Nick Venson, CEO of Swag Golf, with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So you guys have more than just these really cool head covers. You've got all sorts of different things. There's apparel, there's accessories, there's even putters. What made you venture into not just the accessory space, but also the club space as well with the putters?
Well, believe it or not, I actually started Swag to be a putter company. It just turned out that our head covers were really cool, and they took off a little bit faster. I've been a putter aficionado my entire life since I was a kid, always tinkering and always messing around, you know, refinishing, trying new things, and, you know, designing putters even when I was in high school. Always just wanted to make a better putter, something that was 100% fully CNC machined with basically no handwork in it, because I wanted to be able to replicate stuff over and over again and, you know, give a tour player or any player the opportunity to take a putter that, you know, they had once, and if they need to make a tweak and remake it, we can make it that same way again. Just it was a passion of mine to make the best putter I could.
So when you decide to embark on a head cover or a putting cutter or putter cover, what is the collaboration and timeline like on that? And who has been the most favorite collaborator or collaboration that you've done to date?
As far as like design goes, there's a group of us. We got 8 designers on staff and then myself, and we always are working on ideas, coming up with the next great thing. As far as our favorite collaboration goes, honestly, I think the most fun thing that we've had the opportunity to do is, to work with WWE and make WWE head covers. I don't think anybody ever thought that that was something that the golf space needed, but I kind of felt that that was something unique and different that golf could embrace if you were a WWE fan. So making like our original Macho Man Randy Savage putter and head cover is probably one of the most fun collaborations we've had to date.
Nick Venzin.
So you were.
Oh, go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, you're quoted as saying, "I knew we were making cool products, but sometimes the chase of the product is as important as the product itself." What do you mean by that?
Yeah, growing up, I've been a collector of things my entire life, and part of the fun is the chase of finding that special something. And when I started Swag, the idea was that we're going to try to make something new every time. I'm not saying we're never going to come back to something and make a new colorway of it or, make a variation of it. But the idea is that we never remake the same thing twice. And if you're, let's say you're a guy and you're hunting our Cubs World Series scoreboard head cover. Well, the fact that we made it and then we, after it sold out, we didn't go back to it. If you want that cover, you're going to have to go chase it down on eBay or chase it down on a golf forum. And that feel you get when you get that coveted item is sometimes more valuable than having the item itself.
Nick Venzin, CEO of Swag Golf, with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. That's interesting to me because I always wonder from the manufacturer's standpoint, someone sells it on eBay at an inflated price there. You don't see any of that extra money there. Why is that important for you to still have the limited availability, despite the fact that you won't necessarily see the profit of it?
I mean, it's all just, kind of part of growing a brand and wanting there to be a fun community of collectors and people that like the product and support the product. And, if we made 1 million of everything, could we sell a lot more? Sure, absolutely. But it wouldn't be as fun. It wouldn't be as cool. It wouldn't be as special for those that have them. And again, that's why I started Swag, is that, I wanted to have something different than my friends had or something different than buddy had. You walk up to your foursome with that cool putter or head cover, that feeling you have, and they go, "Oh, that's cool. Where'd you get that? Oh, that's really hard to come by. I got it from XYZ." That's something that I think is important when you're trying to build a fun brand that's just different than the other stuff that's out there.
So, Nick, do you have a favorite cover or putter cover or head cover of all time? And did you ever produce one and said, "Wow, I'm not so sure about this one," but then when it hit market, it absolutely destroyed it?
So my favorite cover, I have a few, but honestly, it's probably just the original, Mike Ditka Flip the Bird head cover, which, is a picture of Mike walking across the field in '85, flipping off the reporters. So that's one of my other favorite collaborations we've done. As far as have I ever made a cover and not been so sure of it? Absolutely. I think there's been many times we've made a cover and we're like, "Oh boy, this is a little out there. Maybe, maybe we missed the boat on this one," and then it crushes. And there's other times we make covers that we think are absolutely no-brainers and we miss. But, thankfully we're batting like 950 and it's good enough for me.
Yeah, 950, pretty good right there. Nick Venzin, CEO of Swag Golf, with us on the CDGA Golf Show. So you mentioned you begin this venture in 2018, and then 2020, that season, COVID hits, which for most businesses, not good. But for the golf industry, it was tremendous. It led to a huge boom in participation, especially with younger people as well. And this, a lot of your head covers really speak to the younger generation. How did you see your business grow through that period?
Yeah, I mean, COVID was great for Swag. It was honestly, one being that we were doing all domestic manufacturing was really big for us. A lot of our competitors were at a big disadvantage during COVID. And fortunately for us, we had the ability to continue growing the business and making the products we wanted to make. And I think that that was just really a big leg up for us to be able to get new products out there almost on a, at the time, probably like a bi-weekly basis. We were just really just dropping stuff all the time during COVID. And the customers were wanting more and more and more. And people were at home with nothing to do, and they were able to go out and play golf. And buying swag and playing golf was a great combination for people who were bored at home during COVID.
So, Nick, in fact, I sent a picture to Tyler in the booth of, we had a gentleman walk up who thought you were going to be here today, and he has a big swag tour bag, and on it has Abraham Lincoln and shades and all that. Why the emphasis on skulls and historical figures on money with sunglasses? Where did that come from?
So, you know, for years, you know, I've worked for other people in the golf space and the golf industry, and I had a bunch of ideas, and for some reason I had this like cartoon skull with sunglasses that I thought was cool, and people told me it was a bad idea. So I kind of just like stuck it in my back pocket and didn't do anything with it. And with this idea of sunglasses, if you actually look across almost 99% of what we do, the characters are wearing sunglasses. Why? I don't know. At the time when I started it, I thought it would be kind of fun and different to put sunglasses on historical figures or on Macho Man Randy Savage or the Kool-Aid Man or whatever else is we're doing. And it just kind of came part of our brand identity.
Nick, when you look at what the golf industry has become, especially from an apparel and accessories standpoint here, where do you see this thing going and changing over the course of the next couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, when we started the business, I don't think I ever expected to be where we're at today. And, you know, now that we have the popularity that we do and we're seeing more and more people every week, new customers come into the fold and people, you know, collecting and buying and supporting the brand. I think that swag is going to be bigger than golf. I love that what we're doing in the golf space, but there's other spaces that I think we can get into as a brand that we can put that same twist and that you know, that bold new look on it that can transform some other industries as well.
So, Nick, who was your inspiration personally, and was the company Loudmouth an inspiration to you in any way, shape, or form?
No. You know, I mean, obviously I'm aware of Loudmouth and, you know, and what their, you know, designs were. And I think that, you know, my inspiration is really the fact that a lot of these ideas I had pitched in my previous careers, and they kind of fell on deaf ears. And I think that that's where my buddies and I, when we started this company, who said to me, like, man, I think you have something here. I think this idea for swag, this don't give a putt, bold but really still extremely well-made products, there's a space for it. And I felt there was too. It's something that I would use myself. It's something that I thought friends would use, family would use, or, you know, even just people that I showed it to thought it was cool. And I wanted to just be different than what was out there. And now there's, you know, there's copycats out there. There's people kind of emulating what we're doing. And I really think we kind of started a new you know, phase of golf accessories and putters in the golf market, because nobody was really quite doing it the way we were when we started in 2018.
Interesting. And one other question I had, you know, friend of the show, Nick Hardy, is one of your ambassadors. And I'm curious, how much does he have in a say in what goes on his clubs? Or is that a collaboration all in itself? Or does he walk in and say, I want that one, and this one?
Yeah, no, Nick's amazing, and obviously being a local Chicago guy, it was a no-brainer to team up with him. No, we worked with Nick. Nick and I worked together to basically, you know, build his putter from scratch. It takes a lot from one of our main models, the Handsome One, but there was just very specific tweaks that he wanted, the way the toe is, the angle of the toe, just certain things, the offset of the neck, things that he wanted for his own putter. And together we worked to make him, you know, exactly what he wanted.
So going forward, what does the future look like for Swag Golf and beyond? In the next 5 years, where do you see Swag being?
Well, you know, we've learned a lot in the last 7 years. Things have changed drastically in the golf market. You know, one of the biggest complaints that we've heard from our customers is that, like, we can't get anything. So you're going to see a change in the fact that swag is going to offer core products that are, you know, available all the time to their customers, to our customers. We really want, you know, a first-time customer not to get that disappointment that they probably got the first 5 years where we didn't have stuff for people to buy. And we're going to venture out into some other sporting good, you know, spaces as well. We're looking at baseball. We're looking at doing some other things in a few other spaces that I can't talk about yet. But we really want to expand a little bit beyond the golf space.
Oh, man. I mean, the way that youth baseball apparel, I mean, these kids are wearing the oven mitts now that you see in the major leagues. And they're wearing them at like 10-year-old baseball now. So you could certainly get creative with some of that stuff. Nick, appreciate you taking some time with us today. And best of luck moving forward with Swag Golf.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Nick Venzin, CEO of Swag Golf, with us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. When we come back, we'll take a look at the President's Cup rosters on each side and discuss everything that could be taking place up in Montreal as well. That's all coming up next. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
The segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Do want to remind you about a great deal going on right now, courtesy of our presenting sponsor, Glenview Park Golf Club. This fall, take advantage of an amazing foursome special for just $199.95. So you'll get a foursome for $199.95 that includes a cart, a dozen golf balls, and you got to call the Glenview Park Golf Club Golf Shop at 847-724-0250 and mention the CDGA Golf Show special right now. That includes a cart. It's a foursome for $200, $50 a head, and a dozen golf balls as well. So you're not going to find a better deal than that right now in the Chicagoland golf area. So Glenview Park Golf Club, 847-724-0250, and you'll get an amazing deal there. $199.95 for a foursome. Experience the best at Glenview Park Golf Club. Not going to find a better deal for a better course than what Ron Cassidy is offering up right now.
That's exactly right. And it's for listeners only. And when the show goes off the air at 11, so does the offer. So if you have any aspirations of going up there, dial now. They'll be waiting to take your call.
Yep. All right, let's get into the President's Cup teams because these came down and are official. We'll start with the U.S. Jim Furyk. His squad is led by Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Wyndham Clark, Patrick Cantlay, Sahith Theegala, Keegan Bradley, Sam Burns, Tony Finau, Max Homa, Russell Henley, and Brian Harman. Obviously, some guys battling some injuries right now, which is why some people aren't participating in this. But what did you make of Jim Furyk's picks here?
Well, I'm a little disappointed, to be perfectly candid. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, we can't put 18 players on a 12-man team. But I'm surprised. He just went at what they call, like, chalkboard. He just went right down 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Mm-hmm. And while you may say, well, yeah, they're the next 12, they're the most deserving. Well, historically speaking, folks, the United States have done that two other times in the history of the President's Cup, and it didn't end well. In fact, we have our only loss when we did that, and we also have a tie. So right now we're 0-1-1 when we go ahead and take the next six. So I don't like the strategy, and more specifically, I was looking to think that he was going to put JT on the team.
I was just going to say, especially when you've got Max Homa on that list, and Max has had his struggles this year. He has not been good, missing cuts. It has been a tough, tough year for Max Homa. And I think even for him, it feels like the right thing for him would have been to, you know what, we'll take this portion off here. Got to reset some things. Got to get back in the lab here. And then we'll circle back come the next President's Cup and Ryder Cup teams that are going to be out there. But, I'm with you there. Leaving JT off of this when he had a bounce back year, a resurgent year, you know he's great in the team format as well. even if his buddy Speed's not a part of the roster because he's opting for surgery, I still think JT's someone who he brings leadership, and he's got chemistry with a lot of these guys.
Well, and like his other predecessor, captain of the Ryder Cup, Zach Johnson, he said, you don't leave JT at home.
Yeah.
And I think Jim Furyk, and I'm very surprised because I can't believe they passed on JT. This is a guy, a player, JT has a 17-7-4 lifetime record between the President's Cup and Ryder Cup.
He's one of the best match play guys America has.
Period. In history. And not to mention, he's also a team leader who can be a spark of, you know, the locker room. And, you know, it's interesting, in 2018, when I look back in history, when Furyk was the captain then, JT delivered by downing, you know, Rory McIlroy in singles on Sunday, and yet he didn't want that guy on his team. He took down Rory for him in the opening match in 2018. So I just found it a very interesting pick. You know, to me, it's like the safe way to go by just taking the next six and not ruffling feathers. But it just has historically has not worked out well for us. And then that leads me to my next question. You know, for us here in Chicago, do we want to root for the international team so that they actually win? So when they come to Medina in 2 years, we're trying to win something back and that these matches matter? Or if we go up there and pound on them, does it really feel like it's a real duel and a real fair fight? Because we have absolutely dominated these matches since they were put into play back in the 90s. And so it's just interesting. But then again, I look at what the captain did over on Team Canada.
Yeah.
I expected to have more Canadians. And how do you leave off Nick Taylor? I just don't get it. That one is sacrilegious to me.
Yeah. With the tournament taking place in Montreal as well, like, I think both you and I, we thought this would be a very heavy Canadian influence on here. And what is there, three Canadians that he ended up rolling with here, Mike Weir? Real quick, getting back to the JT thing, and then we can move to the international side. When I look at this roster of Americans, who brings fire? Like, who brings, like, real emotion on the course out of these guys? Not a lot of them. And I feel like that's something that's a spark that Justin Thomas certainly could have brought to this.
Yeah, I don't see a Sam Burns or a Tony Finau or a Brian Harman walking out to the first tee when he's not even playing and playing the role of a cheerleader, a guy that's revving up the crowd. A guy that is emotional, passionate. He just, you know, the only guy that might do it is Keegan Bradley, but in the role of a vice chairman, I don't know that he will do that. I don't know that he wants to be seen in that vein. But aside from that, you know, the rest of the team, you're going to have to, I mean, is Scottie Scheffler going to be that guy? Doubtful. Xander? No. Colin? No. Wyndham? No. Cantley? No. Maybe Sahith?
I was going to say maybe Sahith.
So we're going to have a pretty, what should I say, just a very quiet,
bland,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A very vanilla team.
Yeah.
In that vein.
On the other side, for the international team, all right, you got Hideki Matsuyama, who dealt with some injuries towards the end of the year, but was playing some of his best golf. Sungjae Im, Adam Scott, Tom Kim, Jason Day, Ben Ahn, Christian Bezuidenhout, Corey Connors, Mackenzie Hughes, two of the Canadians there, Siwoo Kim, Minwoo Lee, and Taylor Pendrith. Like, you've got some guys with some fire on this side. Like, Tom Kim can bring that. Minwoo Lee certainly can bring that. Like, there's some guys that can bring some fire on the Canadian side here.
And there is. And, the Corey Connors of the world, and, you know, he's 0-4 in this thing. But I still think not having enough of those Canadians on there, I would have loaded the house with red and white Canadians just to get the crowd going, because I think that's what's going to really unnerve the Americans if they can really feel like they're on truly foreign soil. I'm not sure they're going to get that feeling when they cross the border over into Montreal. But to your point, Siwoo Kim, strong, strong player. And some of these others, you know, are playing really good golf. A guy like Adam Scott and Tom Kim, I could see those two being very, very formidable. And they may even play together. And I could see how the veteran and the young guy could come together and, you know, work well together. But they also have three Australians on the team as well, just to match up with the three that the Canadians have. So, you know, there's some options when you have three. You can rest one and play them as two, and then obviously in singles they'll all three play. And I think maybe there was something to that for Captain Weir in some way. But I also know that he is really looking at statistics. Statistics speak, you know, in terms of how and why he snubbed some of the people that he did. And I think in particular, you know, there's some of these guys have better, you know, better statistics when it comes to putting. For example, Mackenzie Hughes. He's fourth in putting and strokes gained around the green. Now, you may say, what's the big deal about that? Well, when you start playing that alternate shot format, chances are you're going to be left in some pretty, you know, difficult, challenging situations just because of the sheer nature of the format. And so I think that's why Mackenzie Hughes got the nod over a Nick Taylor. I think he's taking a page out of Heinrich Stenson's book and judging his picks based on statistics, where I think Captain Furyk kind of took the easy way out, in my own opinion. But we'll see. I mean, he may look like the hero at the end of this thing and, you know, did exactly what he should have done. But I don't know. It's just, it feels so strange when you don't have Jordan Spieth or JT on a team that is competing in this type of format, whether it be President's Cup or Ryder Cup.
Yep, totally with you there. All right, when we come back, Doug Freese, general manager out at Bolingbrook Golf Club, will join us as the LIV Golf Individual Championships make their way to Bolingbrook starting Friday, September 13th. So we'll discuss all that with Doug coming up next. This segment has been brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Okay.
This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, Tyler Rocky alongside Mike Gilligan, and we've got ourselves the LIV Golf Individual Championships taking place out at Bolingbrook Golf Club this week. The rounds start on Friday, but there's plenty of festivities beforehand, and on site at Bolingbrook Golf Club right now is Mike Gilligan, and we're pleased to be joined by the general manager of Bolingbrook Golf Club, Doug Freese, joins us on the CDGA Golf Show. Good morning, Doug. Thanks so much for taking some time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Doug, you know, it's since I've been out here, I've just marveled at the setup, and when the calendar flipped to 2025, this event wasn't even on your radar. Now that we're less than a week out, what's been the biggest challenges and obstacles that have been, and some of the biggest wins in terms of the planning to host the world?
Well, I'll start with some of the wins. You know, we have our 4th of July festival out here that has 10 to 15,000 people that show up every year. So we're not adverse to large crowds. So that part has been kind of easy from our perspective. The challenge is, it's kind of like starting a new job. You know, you open up a fire hose and drink quickly for a week or two, and then you realize that, okay, wait, we are all professional here. We know what we're doing. We're ready for this, and yeah, let's have a good time.
So, Doug, and then, when you look at how everything came down so quickly like that, like when LIV Golf approaches you guys about hosting this, was there any sort of hesitation in terms of, wow, we really got to whip this thing together quickly?
Did you get that? Mm-mm. Oh, he didn't hear your question. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Good. Doug, but when this all came down, was there any sort of hesitation here in terms of, wow, this may be a little bit too tough to accomplish here because we're going to have to get it all together so quickly?
No, not at all. Just due to the fact that our staff is, you know, well-versed in handling big events. We do bunch of weddings and different things throughout the year. You know, we have 5 weddings on any given weekend, so handling large events, large crowds is what we do.
And then, Doug, when we spoke in the spring, once it was announced that you were going to do this and take on this challenge, which is a formidable one at that, how did that announcement then affect business on a day-to-day basis here? Did you see a plethora of new unique players that haven't seen it just as a result of curiosity kills the cat kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being a golf course that the public can play has helped us tremendously. We've seen an influx of players from all around the state and actually all around the world. We've had people come in from Australia. We've had people from Spain. So the word is out, and we've done a great job of accommodating everybody.
And you've also, as we talked earlier in the show, and we were talking before you came on, one of the biggest changes that we're seeing here clearly is now the first tee is the 10th hole, and the 10th hole is now the first hole. And I'm looking at some of the eighth hole is now the 17th hole, and the build-out is absolutely tremendous. Can you tell us a little bit more about the rationale of flipping the nines here at Bolingbrook?
Sure. Our number nine hole actually sets up very well for the build-out that they do for Club 54, their chalets, things of that nature. So it made sense to reverse the course so that we could actually set up a little bit better for how they do their build-outs. The 18th hole will have Gallery Club on it, our 18th hole, which will be Tournament 9, and the flow of the golf course actually works pretty well for the fans to come out and be able to get around and see a little more action.
And then is there anything that if you were to say to me, Mike, if this happens, we will have a fantastic week, what might that be?
You know, I've been asked that question a couple of times, and you know, good weather, people out coming out having fun, I think is the majority of it. We're really looking forward to putting on a world-class event for everybody, the residents of Bolingbrook and surrounding communities. And we're excited. I mean, it's going to be fun.
No, as I drove in here this morning, the traffic control infrastructure, the signs, the cones, the barricades, all that's being done. I mean, obviously, we're looking at having a lot of people here. Ticket sales have been pretty strong, right?
Yeah, we're expecting 40,000 to 50,000 out here. So
oh my
I believe
gosh.
That's going to be a pretty good number. I don't exactly know what the other numbers around the country have been, but we're strong. I mean, you know, we're pulling from the city of Chicago. We're easy to get to versus other venues that they've had. So it should be a good time.
And being a former tournament director myself and watching all of this happen, I always go back to one of the biggest nightmares I always had when doing a Ryder Cup or a PGA Championship, that I would wake up on the very first day, come out to the club, the buses, everything would be happening, and then nobody would show up. Now, do you have any nightmare as such, or is just you have got such a great group of people, you're just looking prime and ready to go?
We are prime and ready to go. You know, the Village of Bolingbrook has put together a great plan. They've been great with everything going on. Our team here with a bunch of professional people that are ready for a world-class event, and we're ready to rock.
Well, and I was going to go to Bolingbrook. They have got to be a big partner in this with you, because I got to imagine the planning, the logistics, you know, all the permitting and all of the infrastructure that goes into bringing 40,000 to 50,000 people here to your venue. They must have been a big supporting partner with you in all this. Is that right?
Yeah, being a municipal course, obviously that, you know, changes the dynamic versus being a privately owned one. And the Village, the Mayor Basta has been great. Everybody from the Village, every department has been amazing to work with. Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, and I see you're sporting a very stylish pink Nike. So are we a Range Goats fan, or do you have a live player or a team that you're especially fond of?
I will honestly say I am a huge fan of the Rippers.
Nice.
Yeah,
Why the Rippers?
Well, I have a dear friend that is one of the caddies.
Oh, wow.
So he and I have, you know, talked a lot about everything, and I've met with him a couple times, and yeah,
have you had a chance?
Where it's at?
Are you going to be able to meet Cam Smith when he comes in? Then I'm sure you will.
We'll see.
I think you know a guy out there that can help you.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
Doug Fries with us, GM of Bolingbrook Golf Club here. Now, Doug, what's going to be different in terms of what took place out at Sugar Grove in years past with the live golf tournaments that have come to the Chicagoland area? And have you guys consulted at all with Sugar Grove in terms of how to improve this event, too?
We've spoken a little bit. We have the build-out here is a little bit different, I believe, than what they had. The space that we have out here is tremendous, so it makes it a little bit easier. Getting from the city is a little bit easier, so there's a lot of positives of coming out here. Our clubhouse is 76,000 square feet, which, as we all know, is one of the biggest in the country. So that, coupled with how big our driving range is, the ability to do the fan village in the build-outs to create a more immersive experience for the guests out here, helps us a little bit.
And I would have to say, to your point, Doug, this venue has space. And this is a tournament director planner's dream. I mean, Tyler, they're going to have the media center. This clubhouse is so big.
Yeah, 76,000, that's crazy.
They're going to put the media center in a ballroom. I mean, that's top drawer for media. I mean, we're going to be setting the media center in the clubhouse next week, so that's going to be pretty wild.
Yeah, there's no trailers for that. Take care of you guys.
That's right. So if you had to pick, is it going to be John Rahm or Joaquin Neiman that's going to walk away with the title here,
ooh,
in your opinion?
You know, that's a tough one. They're both playing pretty strong right now.
Oh, they really are.
You know, who knows? It could be somebody from the back that comes up and wins here.
Possibly.
You never know.
But yeah. Do you have a certain pick you would love to be able to say, man, we want this guy to be our champion so that when people walk in here for the days and weeks and years to come, they can look up at the wall and see this guy won here?
I want everybody that comes out here to enjoy everything.
There you go. That's politically correct.
Pretty stock answer, right?
Doug,
No, I want everybody to have a good time out here. The course is showing great. Our turf team has done an amazing job. Yeah, everything's it's pretty wild out here, to be honest.
Doug, what's it like trying to handle large crowds? Because, I mean, you've got really big-time names playing in this event, like Bryson, and he's huge beyond the golf world. He's got his YouTube channel and all the fame and celebrity that comes with that. Like, listen, if Mike and I were going to tee it up at Bolingbrook, there's no crowds coming around following us around there. What's it like trying to manage the crowds that are going to be following these guys for all 18 holes?
We have a comprehensive plan to, you know, keep that flow of traffic moving along out on the golf course, and our team has done a great job of getting everything ready, and it'll be good to go.
Awesome. Well,
Doug, you know, with the temperature today, windy is all get out. A little cool. But tomorrow, or this week, you're going to be looking at some really warm temperatures, which could be good for concession sales and all the rest of it. Have you looked at what the wind's going to do next week? Because I think that's the defense that this course has.
That is definitely the defense that this course has. We have seen a couple different reports, depending on which model you look at. A couple of them said, you know, warm and not windy. But today it is windy, and this wasn't really on the report as of last night. So let's hope for some wind.
Yeah, you got it.
Awesome. Well, Doug, appreciate you coming on with us today. Best of luck. I know it's going to be a hectic week for you out at Bolingbrook Golf Club, and hopefully everyone can make it on out there for the LIV Golf Individual Championships taking place starting on Friday, September 13th. That's this coming Friday out at Bolingbrook Golf Club. Appreciate it, Doug.
Thank you.
Doug Freese, GM of Bolingbrook Golf Club. All right, when we come back, we will go around the CDGA. This segment has been brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment is brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. Thanks to Potsy, Justin Pottinger, for producing today's show. Real quick, Mike, before we go around the CDGA, the Glenview Park Golf Club is putting on a great fall special. You can get a foursome for just $199.95, so that's $50 a head. All you got to do, call the golf shop, 847-724-0250, and mention the CDGA Golf Show right now. That includes a cart, $199.95 for a foursome. Includes a cart, and you'll also get a dozen golf balls as well. So 847-724-0250 to book your tee time and experience the best at Glenview Park Golf Club. Again, this offer only good while we're on the air. So you only have like 7 more minutes now to do that. So dial that up and tell Ron Casti you want to get on out there to play Glenview Park Golf Club. All right, what's going on around the CDGA, Mike?
Well, Tyler, you know, on this day in golf, as I was looking up things, I got to share this one with you because of our lovely White Sox. On this day in 1970, the White Sox used a record 41 players in a doubleheader, and you wouldn't believe it, but they dropped both games. So,
some things don't change.
Things just don't change. Back in 2020 on this day, believe it or not, Dustin Johnson won by 3 over Xander and JT, and at that time claimed the biggest prize in golf, which was $15 million. Happy birthday to the legendary Mark McCumber, the winner of 10 PGA Tour events around the country. And also, my godson, Tanner Gilligan, he's 19, a freshman down at Indiana. Special day for him as well. Also, born on this day was the great Louise Suggs, American golfer and the co-founder, believe it or not, of the LPGA. And Louise Suggs, believe it or not, won 11 major titles. And that makes Rory McIlroy extremely jealous. So, good luck to all of those people that are competing as we speak here, Tyler, at the World Long Putt Championship. The regionals are today out at Midwest Golf House. They started at 9, and there will be three winners that will be going up to the finals up at Kohler for the 2024 World Long Putt Finals, and they will earn a free golf, free hotel stay, and a chance to compete for the title, as well as a shot at winning $1 million, as well as setting the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest putt. The putt was reestablished by the good guys at 464 feet. So later this month, those that qualify today and those who have qualified around the country will be doing so up at Kohler at the end of the month. And even though the calendar has switched to September, there is still amazing golf deals out there, folks, for CDGA members. If you are a CDGA member and you want to head out to Bowes Creek Monday to Wednesday before noon, $59 includes your cart. Lou out at Fox Bend has an $80 twosome going Monday to Friday. You heard about the mention at Glenview Park. If you call now, you can get that amazing deal. Otherwise, Monday to Thursday, they got $129.95 for a twosome and cart, or $149.95 on Friday through Sunday, and both of those include a sleeve of balls. Palatine Hills, go up and see Dan Hotchkin, $99 for a twosome and cart, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday between 11 and 1:30. And then lastly, our friends Cole Sangern and company up at Sunset Valley, $120 for a twosome and cart after 1 o'clock. And tell Cole and Eileen we said hello. And, yeah, I just want to say welcome to Chicago and good luck to all the Live Golf League that's going to be visiting in town. We can't wait to see you out here. It's going to be a heck of a week and a memorable one for everyone down here in Bolingbrook.
Yeah, and you'll be back out there. You'll be back out there at Bolingbrook next week, as we'll be off and moving too. It'll be day two, round two of the Live Golf Individual Championship. So you'll be on the grounds for that. Looking forward to all of that. All right, that is going to do it for us here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. We will talk to you next week, bringing you all things that are taking place, the Live Golf Individual Championships with Bryson and Brooks. So if you're out there, say hi to Mike, and we'll talk to you next week here on ESPN 1000.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This is ESPN Chicago, WMVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago. A good